Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, the story continues. Right, here we are in part 2 of 5 from John chapter 6. Last week, of course, we heard the story about Jesus feeding the 5,000 with the 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, Jesus and his disciples have left the crowd behind and have crossed the Sea of Galilee. But there's a problem. The crowd didn't stay behind. They tracked him down. They wanted Jesus to do a repeat performance. Just like us, I suppose. I mean, yeah, it's true that none of us have ever been in a crowd of 5,000 that's been fed with 5 loaves and 2 fish, but we still want Jesus to do this again. Right? I mean, we read about this in Scripture and think, well, Jesus can do a miracle for them way back when. Let's see him do the same thing for us now. And so, like the people, we track him down. We call it prayer. Sometimes we ask him for food. But more often, especially now, we ask him for what? Money, or people, or energy, or commitment, or whatever it is. Even though we know that he is always faithful, we still fall victim to that mindset of scarcity. So we want him to provide for us by giving us more. More of things we can count and measure. But let's stop for a moment here. That way of relating to Jesus sees him as some kind of divine Santa who should reward us because we've been good boys and girls. It sees him as some kind of magic genie who should grant our wishes. It sees him as a cosmic vending machine that should just give us what we want if we kick it hard enough. But that is incredibly disrespectful to the Savior of the world. Right? That's not how Jesus works. And yet that is exactly how the crowd in this reading is treating him. And Jesus knows what's going on, so he calls him out on it. He says that they tracked him down not because they saw him point to God, but because they've got full tummies and they want him to feed him again. They want him to feed them again. So he tries to shift their focus away from the material onto what's really important, his mission. And the people sort of pay attention when they ask, well, what must we do to perform the works of God? Jesus says that the work is to believe in the one whom the Father has sent. Well, of course, belief is not just intellectual consent to a list of ideas, especially here in the Gospel of John. Instead, it's more about being in an intimate relationship with Jesus. It's about abiding with him, to use one of this Gospel writer's favorite words. But of course, the people don't quite get it. They basically say, well, Jesus, we won't believe in you unless you give us more food. Moses gave our ancestors manna in the wilderness. They got their needs met, so do the same thing for us. In other words, they're looking back at the manna story just like how we look back at this story. It happened in the past. So do it again now. Also, notice that they're trying to strike up a deal with Jesus. It's almost like, okay, Jesus, you want us to believe in you, and we want you to keep doing miracles for us. So how about you scratch our back and we'll scratch yours? Sometimes we even try that trick too. Called bargaining with God. Like, how many times have people said, well, I'm a good person, I shouldn't have to go through all of this? As if being a good person somehow made you exempt from human suffering. Well, in response to the crowd, Jesus basically did a facepalm. I thought, really? It's not about the miracles, people. You are missing out on so much when you focus just on the material. C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Weight of Glory and Other Addresses, said this. It would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. Like that child making mud pies, sometimes we have trouble moving away from the material to what's more important. Right, for example, right now there are a good number of churches that are focused on, what, just keeping their doors open instead of the mission of spreading the gospel. And yes, that's an important concern right now, but sometimes those congregations let money control their lives instead of Jesus. I mean, without Jesus as the center, it doesn't matter how much money you have. Money is an important tool to do ministry, but Jesus is the reason why we do the ministry. So then what? If Jesus doesn't provide for us by raining money down from the sky like manna in the wilderness, then what good does he really do? How does Jesus really feed us? Well, that's what Jesus was trying to explain to the crowd that day. And it brings me back to the teaser I left you with last week about the how of this miracle. Right, there are a couple common ideas about how this happened. First, some people think that the boys' generosity inspired others to pull out their hidden lunches and share them too. Well, sharing is nice, and we are called to do that, but that's not mentioned anywhere in the text. The Bible doesn't say anything about anybody else sharing what they had. Second, some people think that Jesus multiplied the loaves and the fish. But that's not mentioned in the text either. Yes, there were a bunch of leftovers, but the text does not say that Jesus made more food before it was distributed. Plus, not only does the text not support either of those two interpretations, but both of them still come at the story from the material perspective. They both assume that five loaves and two fish are just not enough. Either the people had to share what they brought, or Jesus had to make more food, because mathematically that one little meal wasn't going to cut it. There had to be a larger amount of food somehow. But the thing is, that one meal was enough. That's the miracle. Jesus took what looked like a little bit and fed that crowd. And it provided a whole bunch of leftovers. So then how did he do it? Well, because there's a third approach. One that the text does tell us. In fact, Jesus himself tells us. Listen again to the last line of this reading. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. The bread isn't just bread here. Jesus is the bread. So once again, it's not about the material, it's about Jesus. And as we'll see over these next few weeks in John 6, Jesus is the bread of life. And some people understand that and some people don't. Jesus feeds us with himself. And there is plenty of him to go around. And plenty of him left over to share with others. I mean, think of it this way. Jesus is one guy. Mathematically, one is not very much at all. And yet, how many people throughout history and around the world have been fed by this one guy? Many more than 5,000, I can tell you that. Countless people have had their lives changed because of Jesus. Including us, including you. I mean, think about the big picture. You know what it's like to be hungry for a new start in your life. So Jesus feeds you. You know what it's like to be hungry for forgiveness. So Jesus feeds you. You know what it's like to be hungry for love. So Jesus feeds you. He feeds you with his very life and his very self. We'll see more about that in coming weeks too. Jesus feeds you in a way no one and nothing else can. And now maybe you're thinking, yes, that's true, but so what? The material is still important to us. What about daily life right now? What about when our society is going backwards in this fight against the virus? What good does Jesus feeding us with all this spiritual stuff really do in a practical kind of sense? Well, consider it this way. The crowd that day wanted Jesus to rain down manna from heaven like the Israelites got in the wilderness. Basically, they wanted to know that God was there with them and taking care of them. Because that's what the manna is about anyway. They wanted to know that God still cared and God provided. Jesus, though, is the bread that comes down from heaven. He is the Word made flesh. He is God incarnate. He is the ultimate reminder that God is with us. Even in our darkest days, Jesus remains with us even unto death. And then he conquers the grave to give us new life. There is no situation we face in life where he is not with us and where he does not prevail. And so now, as people who know that God is with us, as people who have been fed by this bread of life, as people who do abide with Jesus, we can now be that reminder for others in a very practical sense. We can put Jesus first and then use our resources to show them that God cares for them too. In other words, even Jesus can't get blood from a turnip. But instead, he provides money to us in our wallets and bank accounts, and then calls us to go and do something with it. He provides us with time in our day, and calls us to make a difference with it. He provides us with energy in our bodies and then calls us to use that to share his love. I mean, each of us rely on so many different people in life. The people who provide our food, the people who make our clothes, the people who clean up after us, and so many others. Nobody can truly live off the grid. We are dependent upon others, and others are dependent upon us. That's just how life works. And yes, times are frustrating right now, but we don't need to add to the frustration of others. Instead, we get to be a sign of love and hope for them. We get to remind them that God is still here. We get to generously and abundantly share what we have so that they know God still cares about them too. That is how Jesus practically provides for us, my friends. He takes care of you through your neighbor and takes care of your neighbor through you. So that means when we complain that Jesus isn't doing a repeat of this miracle, he basically turns it back on us and says, stop focusing on the scarcity and instead focus on me. Focus on my abundance and let me provide for your neighbors through you. They're counting on you. That's our mission, folks. That's who we are. And that is what this world is hungry for right now. So let's be the miracle the world needs and feed them with this amazing bread of life. He is a feast that never runs out. So, as I said, the story continues. And it continues now in us. What a wonderful story this is. In the name of the one who feeds us so that we can feed others, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.